So fuck you, Hawking.
You can't say that. Alrighty, welcome to Meat for the Beast, episode 11. It's been a while coming.
Oh shit.
Oh shit, yeah.
Never thought we'd get this far.
I know.
To steal your catchphrase.
Yeah, I certainly didn't think we'd last this long. But we floundered a bit with illnesses and, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Life.
I've got vertigo, which is a pain in the ass. McVeigh's hungover, I think.
Right? I'm alright today. I'm alright. Yeah. The delay has been unavoidable, really, so apologies, right. But thank you for your continued listenership.
Yeah, thanks very much. We've got lives, haven't we, believe it or not?
Yeah.
Much as we relish the podcast.
Yeah. But at least we've got time, we've had a chance to actually consume a lot of media and do some reading, and we've got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, got a lot of mileage today.
Yeah, so what do you want to do? Do you want to do fresh news, or should we just dust over, like, the last proper episode was the 50 Shades one?
Yeah, go for it.
Alright, yeah, 50 Shades. I suggested to Jim that we should get drunk and go and watch 50 Shades of Grey. He said it was a good idea, but I think he was drunk at the time. And the day after he said, no, I'm not doing that, mate. You can't have two guys going and watch 50 Shades.
Seems a bit lame.
Yeah, so I was up in Edinburgh visiting my my good friend Lydia, who stepped into the breach as honorary beast mistress, I guess, for this purpose. And she agreed that it would be a good idea to go and watch 50 Shades of Grey whilst drunk. It wasn't, because it's utterly dog shit. It's completely charmless, and everyone knows that by now. This would have had more impact if we were doing one a month ago, but yeah, 50 Shades, bag of shit, not even being drunk is enough. And also, it's very unerotic.
What was your female friend's reaction? It strikes me as more of a woman's film.
There's similar boredom and annoyance, from what I can gather. I think one highlight, there's a gaggle of Edinburghian women at the back cackling throughout, which I thought was quite funny.
Sure, that adds to it.
Yeah. They were like, this is shit, isn't it?
Tee-hee.
Yeah. it was just shit. So we sobered up and then went and got drunk and had a better time.
Good stuff. That sounds like when I went to see American Psycho, there was some Manx woman off her tits, just laughing like a mad fucking bitch.
I was going, well, Psycho is... She got thrown out?
Yeah.
Shit. Psycho is funny, though.
Yeah.
Good on her.
She just laughed for the whole thing. After about 40 minutes, they just threw her out. But it was pretty funny. Tainted the film slightly. Seeing as we just had two big trailers drop. The Star Wars trailer just came out.
Yes, Star Wars trailer.
Which... looks good, doesn't it?
Absolutely, I was in the pub when I saw it, I got goosebumps at the end.
Mm.
I thought that's nice. I watched it a couple of times more that night. Yeah, it looks very exciting. What I did like is, because it was it launched at some sort of Star Wars event?
I think so, yeah.
Where they were doing loads of other stuff, and they brought on that droid, that little ball droid, it's called BB-8.
And it's real, isn't it?
It's actually real, yeah. That's fucking insane.
That is pretty nuts.
I've no idea how they made that.
Yeah, some sort of magnetism, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. But he's
quite... looks good. I quite like it. Everyone's sort of hating on it, but I don't mind it.
I think he looks like a little gobby upstart.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Because I was worried at first they've done that with R2-D2. I was thinking fanboys aren't going to like this.
Yeah.
But it's not, is it? It's just a new robot.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, he's good.
Positives of the trailer. Han and Chewie reunited.
Yes.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
It looks like they're only just getting the Falcon back, maybe.
Yeah.
They say something about coming home.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. I think I'm liking the look of the villain. Forgotten his name.
Right.
But we're not sure if it's Adam Driver from Girls who's playing the villain.
Right.
Because he's not been announced who he's playing.
Okay.
But everyone's assuming that it's him with the badass lightsaber. And I'm up for that.
Yeah, villains. I think we talked about it on Facebook. I think it'd be good to see them in context. But there's like a sort of chrome stormtrooper with a cape.
Yeah, is that
which
is the comb? Chris, is that a girl?
Okay, maybe.
Got a feeling it's a female.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Might be wrong.
Yeah,
because I saw some like artwork, some promo art, and it looks like she's got the physique of a It's a ladies' physique.
Oh, right, blimey. Shit.
Which could add some serious... Well, not add balls, but it was. Would be...
Some kick-ass ovaries.
Yes, kick-ass ovaries.
I think I would say that... I know you were just saying you liked it, but Darth Vader's sort of replacement, I thought, didn't blow me away visually. Maybe you have to sort of see it in the context a bit more, but...
Yeah.
I made the joke that his face looks a bit like Stallone's crotch in Judge Dredd. It's like a sort of Hoover attachment face.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point.
I was thinking about, like, one credit you've got to give Phantom Menace is Darth Maul's pretty fucking cool, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, the prequels as a whole are pretty shit, but if you can take moments from them, that's totally freaking nice. And even I like General Grievous, to be honest.
He had
a bad cough, and he was pretty badass.
He sounded like a Star Wars character for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like sort of offensive stereotype George Lucas seems to like.
Could be, yeah.
Promote.
God, yeah. It was pretty close to the bone, that really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and.
Was it Watto? The
slaver.
The slave dude.
Yeah, so hopefully. I think the bad guys, hopefully there'll be more of them, or perhaps the look looks better in the context of the film.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it looks good. It's promising. I like what Abrams did with Star Trek for the most part. It was, you know, I think it didn't really feel quite like Star Trek to me, but I still enjoyed it.
Mm. And, same here. I've got a new hope, if you want. I haven't given a shit about Star Wars in years.
Yeah.
This is the first thing that's actually made me sit up and pay attention. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't particularly love Abrams as a director, but you know he can make a decent movie as long as he seems to be toning down the lens flare. So
yeah.
I've got faith. I've got faith.
I was under the misconception he directed Cloverfield until the other day, and I used it to back up my argument. He'll do a good job, and got shot down.
Yeah,
shot in the
ass. That's what the Joss Whedon apologists are doing as well. It's like, Cabin in the Woods is right good. I'm like, yeah, he didn't direct it.
Right. I like the fact, for the prequels, one thing, I think one instant fucking dick in its ass is the fact, you know the outcome. You know, we all know Vader's evil prevails.
Yeah.
Vader's going to turn into... a badass, which is cool, but I won't go into it too much. But like,
I always thought that. I didn't see like everyone knows that know how this pans out.
Yeah, so it's kind of more of an open book now, isn't it?
Yeah,
and anything goes. I'm hoping that I did watch a lot of the Clone Wars cartoons, and there were a couple of baddies in that were really really cool, really successful, and they brought them back a few times. Okay, one was called Cad Bane. It was quite deliberately tailored on Lee Van Cleef.
Right.
It was a cross between Lee Van Cleef, but his species was one of those blue guys in the cantina bar that are wearing spacesuits with big eyes.
Okay.
If you remember. So I just did a very Star Wars look, but with this Lee Van Cleef sounding, this attitude. And he was a great sort of, you can imagine him and Boba Fett really kind of working together.
Right. Was he, what was he, a bounty hunter or a Sith dude or what?
Yeah, it was a bounty hunter with real... real top end bounty hunter, like he sort of would beat the Jedi's just from being a badass and blow the shit out of the Jedi temple and that kind of thing.
Good on.
So I'd have liked to have seen him hit live action. There was a few things in those shows that were decent. So
doesn't Darth Maul come back with like robot legs?
Yeah. Don't know if they gave him robot legs in the cartoon, but in the comic, I saw a comic where he comes back looking pissed off with half a body. So that's another, I mean, I suppose you don't just want to rehash, you know, Lucas's ideas. So bodes well anyway.
Definitely trailer. I'm excited.
Batman Superman,
this one actually gave me a bit more excitement. It seems to be getting wailed upon big time, but again, I got goosebumps when he asks him if he bleeds. I was like, you will. Go on. Well, I've got a soft spot for Affleck. I've liked Snyder's films for the most part. Watchmen's pretty unbeatable.
300.
300's alright. Sucker Punch was wank.
Yeah.
We can ignore that. But yeah, and Man of Steel, I'm one of the few people who seem to really like Man of Steel.
Okay.
I'm bang up for this. It looks a bit too, I suppose its downfall could be that it is a bit too serious. It could be a bit too po-faced. But we've got Batman and Superman having fights. It's not going to be a hoot, is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you did it in a kind of like in a more jovial way, then I just think you wouldn't have any. I don't know. It wouldn't really have any payoff.
To sort of to credit it, Batman looks fucking nails, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
He looks like Terminator or something.
I know. I'm loving the white eyes on his armor.
Yeah.
Doff of the cap to the animated series, yeah.
Even in like these the normal bat gear, he's proper pumped.
Yeah,
it's pretty nuts. Seeing it looks like fucking Jim Lee's drawn him or something.
Totally, yeah. I think it was on. Is it IO9?
Yeah.
Someone went like there was a proper dissection of the trailer, and someone pointed out there's a shot of Batman on top of a spire or a skyscraper, and he appears to have what looks like a big sniper rifle.
Yeah, go on. I suppose I'm sort of a mixed opinion because I've got a bit. Yeah, I mean it is great. I like the idea. We're probably going to see that big badass bat tank from Miller's Batman.
Mm.
He looks like Miller's Batman, but at the same time, it's kind of like sort of a derivative of something that I actually would want to see. You know, I'd love Snyder to make a proper Dark Knight Returns, Watchmen style.
Yeah.
Really go for it with a decent rating. It's never going to happen.
No.
At least not, I don't think, for a long time.
That's true.
Maybe when everything's been completely diluted and heroes are kind of less popular as they are now, maybe we'll get it. But
then you get like, I mean, we'll talk about this more. But like Daredevil, the fact that that's on Netflix, they've got they're kind of fairly unrestricted in what they can do, and it's brutal as hell. There's times I'm like, fucking hell, it's not too far off like Punisher Warzone levels of brutality.
Yeah, Daredevil. Yeah, it's a big event.
So we'd like a really violent, edgy Batman. And I think Daredevil's got that right tone. You're not going to see that in a film.
The thing is where Batman's size works against him, though, isn't it? Because Daredevil's, I guess, like your C-lister, isn't he? And you've got a bit more.
I suppose so.
Not as many people are going to be upset with it. Not as many mums are going to be writing in about it. And
that's a good point. Yeah.
And I think he lends himself well to a series because it's also street level.
Yeah.
Great show.
It's really good.
I knew it was going to be good. The trailer just totally sold it, but I didn't realise how full on it was going to be.
Yeah,
it's fucking ace.
And that was it, Charlie Cox.
Right.
I'd seen him in Stardust as some dandy fella. But when he was cast, I was like, that guy, fuck's sakes. But now he's nailing it. I think the only one I'm not that keen on is the guy who's playing Foggy. There's only so much you can do with Foggy, I guess.
It took me a couple of episodes. I didn't mind him.
It's not a deal breaker for me. I can tolerate him.
He's got an unfortunate face. He's got the kind of face you wouldn't want, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's true. But us finely crafted figures of masculinity, it's easy for us to look down on folk like that.
I looked him up. He was in D2 The Mighty Ducks, apparently.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, he was one of the kids in that.
Jeez, I bet he looked exactly the same.
And D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin.
Yeah.
He was pretty fucking good, I thought.
He's very good. A friend of the show, Oliver, sent me a text going, Kingpin looks like Barry off EastEnders. I was like, you dick. And they're like, oh, you're getting it right there.
I noticed, actually, I'm not going to ruin anything about the show, but I noticed that as it went along, Kingpin's suits became lighter and lighter.
Oh, right.
In the final scene, I won't tell you what happens, but in the final scene, you see him. He's wearing white.
Okay. You just told us what happens.
Not revealed.
Well, I suppose. Has he got pink trousers on as well?
Pink trousers?
Yeah, like Kingpin had pink trousers.
I thought he wears just a white suit.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know. But it might be just coincidence. But I get the feeling it probably wasn't. So, like, he's evolving into the Kingpin just as Daredevil kind of evolves.
That's good.
Yeah. Love that black outfit.
It's badass.
Yeah.
And it's an intense show. I wasn't prepared for the level of violence, to be honest.
Knife in the eye and that kind of
fucking beheading someone with a car door repeatedly. The beheading's only once, but to get to that point, fuck's sakes.
It doesn't pull its punches.
No.
So I suppose in Netflix you've not got the watershed to deal with, have you?
Exactly. And you can put stuff out there as unrated as you like. I think Marvel have done a wise move on that way.
Yeah, it makes you think because
I guess they could use it as like a proving ground for
yeah
because we've got like is it Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther.
And Jessica Jones.
Iron Fist or something.
Yeah.
So interesting, yeah.
It's an exciting time.
Made me a lot more interested. I'm more interested in what they're going to do next, as opposed to, I didn't bother with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, you neither.
I watched one episode and got bored.
Yeah. Well, isn't there one that is an Agent Carter TV show as well, isn't there?
Yeah, didn't see any of that.
Not seen any of that.
She's pretty tiny. So, I did. It makes you think, watching Daredevil made me think, I wish the Green Arrow show was like that, because I watched about three episodes and was like, oh man, he lives with his mum. Hangs out with a bunch of fucking bellends and...
Well, I think the Grimsby Lantern, he's a big advocate of that show. He's watched all of it.
Plus, you guys were big Smallville men as well.
Yeah, but it took him ages to finish it. I think I'm the only person I know who's watched the entire thing of Smallville. Because, I've been through 9 years of it. I wasn't giving up that close to the end.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. It ended as well as it could have done, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad to see the back of Tom Welling, wooden bastard. it was all right.
So, I don't know, hopefully DC will learn from...
I think they're just too... They've been too reactive, I think. And I think they're also... like, I guess they're Warner Brothers own DC, so it's all got to be a Warner Brothers product.
Yeah.
But I guess now Marvel are now Marvel Studios. They can have that kind of same level of autonomy. But Marvel seems to be doing it in a clever way, whereas DC, you're just like, oh shit, look what they're doing. We're going to do this. And that's like... I think there's a lot of people commenting that Batman and Superman, why is it not called World's Finest or something cool like that?
But
it's Dawn of Justice. But, whatever.
Yeah, it does seem to cater to the shit munchers a lot, doesn't it? I think my main moan about that trailer was like, it just seems like they've made a film for people who hate Superman. It's like, well, why give them a Superman film?
Yeah.
You know, like, I kind of think that...
But I think that's also a good thing. Like, well, I mean, at least it's a fresh take on it. You know, instead of him being like the Dayglo superhero that everyone's supposed to love, like, look at the real world impact of such a...
Yeah, I get your point. Yeah, I mean, watching the first Thor film, that to me seemed like something that would really work with Superman, that kind of tone. And it wasn't dead pious, was it? It was quite just, it's kind of fun. And
I really enjoyed Thor.
Yeah, it wasn't too complex either. It was quite sort of quite a simple film, isn't it? Sort of,
yeah.
You know, pretty much just a little revenge story
and
that kind of thing. And him becoming Thor, and I'm not convinced. I mean, it's Batman v Superman. That's something that's supposed to come at the end of their lives, isn't it? I'm not convinced they would fall out straight away. I think
I've never been a fan of the concept of Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in Dark Knight Returns, that was done well, and gave it a decent context.
Yeah.
But from what I might be wrong in this, but I get the impression that we've got an older Batman, because obviously Affleck's 40s.
Yeah.
So he's already been in action in Gotham, or has hung it up or whatever, and then just takes umbrage with the fact that this alien's come down and laid waste to Metropolis and feels the urge to step in. I don't know. I'd be interested to see how they pull it off, but from what I've seen thus far, it's tickling my bits.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a go. I'll give it a go. It certainly look. I mean, I like... There's no denying Affleck looks like Batman. He looks like Bruce Wayne as well. You look at... Someone was saying looks like the Adams Bruce Wayne. Or I was thinking more Jim Aparo's Bruce Wayne from, like, you know, like late 80s kind of chiselled kind of handsome devil.
He's got the right jaw.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I think of everyone who's been cast in our lifetime, he's the most... looks the most like him anyway.
Yeah.
Whether he'll deliver or not remains to be seen, but I think he'd probably be, I think he will.
Yeah. Speaking of appropriate casting, we were talking off this about Jared Leto as the Joker in Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah.
Think he's got the right vibe for it.
I think
he could do Freaky quite well.
Yeah, because I was saying to you about, I watched a documentary about his band, which I don't really like his music, but
called 30 Seconds to Mars.
I think so. Yeah, it might be 40 Seconds. I don't know.
Who gives a shit? emo shit.
It sounds a bit like, I don't know what it sounds like. It sounds like Maroon 5 or something. Yeah, not really my cup of tea. But it kind of told you his background. Apparently, he was like, his mum got up the duff when she was about 16. He's got a brother as well.
Right.
And his dad fucked off. And they were like, proper poverty kind of upbringing.
Right.
Where they'd like have to make their own Christmas presents and that kind of thing.
Jeez.
And he's sort of gone from that to being an Academy Award winning actor, and this, you know, how many actors get they kind of become a rock star as well?
Yeah. Often
Juliet Lewis pulled it off, but
yeah,
pretty rare thing to manage, I think. So you could tell he's got this insane sort of drive in this documentary. The guy's sort of full of fucking intense, just working on a different fucking plane, you know what I mean?
Good on him.
Yeah,
so
I think he'll make an interesting Joker.
Yeah.
And he's gangly as well, which is good. We've not had a gangly Joker, have
we? No, we've had Porky, and I don't know, Heath Ledger wasn't really Porky, was he? He was just
normal sort of size, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he needs to be a bit more wispy and lithe.
Yeah, bony.
Bony, yeah, that's what I'm going for, yeah.
And then, of course, you've got the Cesar Romero Joker. He didn't even shave his, didn't even shave his tash off.
Lazy shite. Oh, I started watching the Batman and Robin movie. The 60s Batman one, sorry.
Okay.
I started watching that, and it just made me furious. You've seen it?
I've got it on Blu-ray.
Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. When he's hanging off a ladder off a helicopter, and he's like, Robin, pass me the bat shark repellent. And then he's like, oh, bat manta ray repellent, bat octopus repellent. I was like, I can't cope with this. I really can't cope.
What's your problem?
It's like Akiva Goldsman before Akiva Goldsman was in town. Dreadful.
Speaking of Daredevil.
Which we weren't, we were actually on Batman there.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, going back to Daredevil. Of course, we were saying that, you know, whilst it's a great show, it is lacking two things. Coolio and Matt Murdock on a seesaw. Blind man on a seesaw.
Absolutely.
Stalking a woman.
Yeah, actually, yeah. On the prowl.
Because somebody made some quite negative YouTube video about it.
Blind. He's blind, so it's alright.
Yeah. He was saying, firstly, that Matt Murdock's a shit lawyer because everyone he tries to prosecute gets off and he has to go and beat him up at night.
That's true.
And secondly, this is in the film, the Daredevil film. And secondly, if a woman doesn't fancy you straight away, follow her down the street and beat her up. Seems to be the moral of the film.
That's... Oh, no one's ever said that before, but yeah, I've got a point.
It's got its moments, that film, though.
It has, it totally does. I've been championing that film ever since it came out. And yeah, Coolio was an entire subplot in the director's cut, which is half an hour longer.
Right, really?
Yeah.
30 minutes longer, yeah. Shit. Is that all Coolio, then?
It's pretty much that plot.
No way, yeah. Right.
I can't remember how it ties into the overarching story. And also, it gets rid of a terrible love scene. I think in the original, there's like a shit love scene by the fire that's just binned off in favour of the morning after. But yeah, it's good. I thought they nailed it to a degree. Colin Farrell's bullseye was fucking ace. I thought you're not with me.
I wasn't 100% on that. No, but I didn't mind him.
There's a gobby woman on the plane and she's just jabbering on and he's trying to listen to his music, so he opens some peanuts, flicks it, bounces off a chair and chokes her to death, and he's just hanging off furious. Like, hey, bullseye. It's good.
Yeah. I do worry, you know, like the first series of Daredevil was so good. I worry how it's going to fare in later series, like whether it's, because it was all quite street level and quite sort of real.
Yeah.
Whether once they stop bringing in bad guys, it's going to get a bit more campy and daft. Well, or whether they'll pull it off, keep the tone.
I think the budget's going to help them rein it in a bit. I hope they don't bring in like shit versions of... Oh, they brought, I think in Arrow they brought in, is it Deadshot?
Yeah.
And he was just shit. So I hope they don't do something like that. And when Bullseye eventually turns up, I don't want him to have like that crappy suit he has.
Yeah,
that's a shit outfit. But we'll see. I think they're going to tie it together with the other three that they're doing. I think it's going to come together in is it the Defenders?
Right. I don't know. It's going to be a film, isn't it?
Something like that. Okay. I'm only au fait with Daredevil to a degree, but I'm not a Marvel person. I can't really converse well.
I think if it all goes down the toilet, at least we've got one kick-ass series that is up there with Dread for me. I thought in recent years. Dread, for me, recent years, Dread, Watchmen, now, this Daredevil series. think have been the killers.
That's good. I'm with you there.
I'm saying. I've got some heads ups from my main man, Rob Richardson, over at Brainwave Films.
Oh, all right, Rob.
So, all right, Rob. Cheers, Rob, for this. Rob, I did a bit of research and checked out the miniseries Man Without Fear, which is Frank Miller's. It's kind of like a year one for Daredevil, which is drawn by John Romita Jr., who's the kick-ass artist. And it was at a point where you'd be forgiven for thinking it was Miller drawing it as well.
Right.
It all looks a bit like Ronin, and it's a really good series, and you can probably buy that for a tenner. Okay, Rob gave me a heads up with one called Born Again, which is the dream team of Miller and Mazzucchelli.
Nice.
That's supposed to be worth a peep. And he also said check out the Bendis and Malieve, I think I'm saying that right, Bendis and Malieve era of Daredevil, and there's a couple of like collected volumes, and it's supposed to be dark as fuck.
Cool.
It all like real gritty, real look to it. And finally, Rob sent me a link to a documentary called The Men Without Fear.
Men Without Fear?
Yeah, a bit like us, really.
Absolutely. Fearless.
And that's, you can see that on YouTube, it's like up in different parts, and it's just all the you know, most influential kind of creators that worked on Daredevil, going right back to like one of the really early guys.
Sounds good.
And it was really good. It was a long interview with Miller, and Stan Lee's on there. And,
I like to add to that list the Kevin Smith Guardian Devil story, which from what I can gather, I think it came out like 98, 99.
Yeah.
Daredevil was languishing because of bottom rung, and I think Guardian Devil kickstarted volume 2, if you want.
Uh-huh.
And it's drawn by Joe Quesada before he got the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking ace. It's very dialogue heavy, as you'd expect, but it's a wicked tale, and that's what put me onto Daredevil in the first place, due to my then fanboy love of Kevin Smith. But also, there's a nice foreword in it by Ben Affleck.
Oh, right.
Who professes his love for Daredevil, and he was annoyed to find out that his friend was writing it, because to him, Daredevil was just born and it existed. So when he finds out that his friend is writing it, he wishes him all the best and then is furious about it. And then fast forward 5 years later, Affleck's playing Daredevil and Kevin Smith's playing some shit lab attendant. So it all kind of comes full circle. It's nice.
Excellent. Because Quesada's, I really like the way he draws ropes and strings and stuff. That got a real kind of, gives him real life, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like a bit sort of one step on from Todd McFarlane stuff.
Yeah, his stuff's really cool. But
really composes a page, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty.
Because he did some of the Nightfall stuff. I found out.
Did he?
Yeah, he designed that kind of weird John Paul. What's his name? John Paul Valley Batman.
Oh, Azrael.
Yeah, which I didn't mind. I thought it was all right. Yeah. You know, kicked Bane's ass.
Yeah.
You know,
bit too mean though. Too mean spirited, that guy. Loose cannon.
I liked it when there was one bit where Batman lost the bottom of his, you know, the human bit of his face.
Yeah.
They took that away and just gave it this blank bat face that was a helmet. I thought that was ace.
Yeah.
I thought they'd keep that. I really did, because I thought, I suppose you lose character. They couldn't have really kept it. But
yeah.
That was pretty damn sweet. So I like props to Quesada for that.
I'd like to give that another go. I've not read it in about 20 years.
How about some music?
Let's have some music.
You've been in the studio?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about me for a change. Yes, I'm in a band, Sheffield-based rock and roll cowboy adventure rock band called The Clench.
Yeah.
And we are putting out, I guess by the time this comes out, it'll already be out, our first new product in 4 years.
Oh, shit,
yeah. So it's a download-only double A-side single. One track called Maybe Mexico, another called Riding Into Nowhere. And I don't know which one we're going to play.
How can people find it?
That's a good point. It's on, you can search for us on Facebook, and the music's on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Bandcamp, Google, whatever that is, Google Play. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
and Deezer, whatever Deezer is.
Okay, I've not heard of that
one. I don't know. But I think iTunes and Amazon will be probably the main ones, and Spotify.
So if you Google The Clench, you'll find some sweet shit by the sound of it.
Yeah, but probably Google The Clench Sheffield, because I found there's another band in Glasgow called Clench. So yeah, let's go. Would you rather hear some sweeping, epic, stringy stuff or some trumpety, funky stuff?
You're cool. You're the man.
Fuck it, we'll go with maybe Mexico.
Okay,
this
cool.
This is pretty much some mariachi funk with
some sound trumpets on it.
Absolutely, yeah. Hope you enjoy it, and it's available to buy for 79p.
This desolate land. I thought of my friends and if they'd fallen the same, and whether after I'd gone anyone would remember my name. When five figures came riding, scraped me up from the ground and carried me back to Juarez, that beautiful Mexican town.
So that was The Clench with Maybe Mexico, their new soon-to-be chart-topping single.
Excellent, fine bit of music.
Thank you. Music. I think we're resurrecting the spoken word element, which it could be a bit pretentious, but we think it has atmosphere.
I don't think it's pretentious at all.
Well, thank you. We're going to keep it. And if you're bothered about that and you want to come and see us, we're playing at the Red House in Sheffield on May the 30th. And then the Saturday, June the 27th, down at the Shakespeare. If you're in Sheffield, come along.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Recommended. Recommended.
Thanks very much.
From the Beast.
Woo!
We like to recommend our own musical.
Well, you know, we are ace, so.
Yeah. So, one thing I wanted to bring up.
Keaton didn't get the Oscar.
Oh, get over it, mate.
Outrageous.
Get over
outrageous.
It.
Outrageous. Which has made me think there's only one man to blame. Stephen Hawking.
I like how you call him Hawking. You know, it's Hawking.
Hawking, right, okay.
No, I think it's good that you keep calling him Hawking.
He's out on the Hawking. Yeah, Stephen Hawking is to blame for this outrage.
I don't think it's him. Surely it's Eddie Redmayne, isn't it?
No, so I'm going straight to the source. So, you know, I mean, when you think about I would gladly trade all Hawking's, his many kind of what he's contributed to the world. For, you know, I'd say Keaton's far outweigh it. Certainly for my life.
I think they're specialists in different fields.
Yeah.
And I can see how one might have had more of an impact on your life personally.
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, that's a bold statement you made, Jim.
Yeah, you can't fuck with a guy who played Beetlejuice and Batman, basically, even if you've written a clever book about the universe or whatever. So fuck you. What, Hawking, yeah.
It's Hawking.
Hawking. So fuck you, Hawking.
And you can't say that.
We've started a... It's inspired me to start a Meat for the Beast shit list. Which we've already kind of started when we thought about it. Because we've got... Who was that guy you don't like?
Oh, Akiva Goldsman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a scriptwriter who wrote like if Ron Howard directed it, Akiva Goldsman probably wrote it. Da Vinci Code,
right?
That
right.
Shit. I think he wrote the script for I Am Legend, and that was a bag of
right.
Shit.
Yeah, it was.
And also more importantly, he's responsible for adding the the retro campness to Batman Forever and Batman and Robin specifically.
Putting the trilby on Bane.
Fucking hell. God, it's awful. Turning Bane into poison ivy's blow-up henchman. Fucking atrocious. And bat nipples and bat credit cards.
Now he's the Transformers man.
He's been, he's been given creative control, I think, of the Transformers brand.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Okay.
I mean, I obviously, like, Transformers has had its issues with, like, the racial stereotyping of the twins and Devastator's fucking balls, like, and his clanging scrotum on a robot. If he's going to try... I don't know, I dread to think what he's going to do. But he's on the shit list because he's fucking awful.
What's his name again?
Akiva Goldsman. I think he might be an Oscar winner as well for A Beautiful Mind.
Okay, I never saw that. Didn't look worth seeing, to be honest.
Fuck you, Akiva Goldsman.
And then we also spoke. We said Alex Ross.
Alex Ross is going in there. Red jumper, knobhead.
So I do.
Not that I've got anything against red jumpers. It's just his overall look and his face.
I like Kingdom Come. I think Kingdom Come is a good one, but I'm willing to let him go in there because there's sorts of some bad documentary footage of him. This shit red jumper that made his man tits look like
Deirdre's photo case, but motherfucker.
That's Hal described him. What was it? A watercolour gouache cocksucker. which is even incorrect because he doesn't even use gouache; he uses acrylics, from what I can tell. But I'll let that slide.
I'll let the artist have that one. I don't know.
And the other one was I wanted to put Audrey Hepburn in there. But then it was more the people that feel the need to put her image on the wall when they've not even seen her fucking films.
Yeah.
So I'll let her slide.
Thank you, because Audrey's lovely, and she did a lot of good work. I think she worked for UNICEF or something. She was she's had a badass life.
Okay.
Oh, she had she was a badass, and I don't think she deserves to go on the shit list. Yeah, but society.
We don't upset any Scooby Doo women. Like our band. Our band had a song called Audrey Hepburn Can Fuck Right Off. We played it in front of a room of Scooby-Doo women.
They
didn't look very happy.
You mean like Velma-looking ladies?
Yeah, you know what I mean, yeah.
Not that Velma's a bad look, because...
No.
Damn, son.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, the Daphne and Velmas didn't like us when we did that. We got booed.
Did you?
Yeah. We don't always want to be loved, though, you know.
No, at least you're. Well, you're doing something right if you're rubbing someone up the wrong way, I think.
Yeah. So, but we'll retract Audrey. Who else was?
I would have liked to put Joss Whedon in there.
Oh, I'm not having that. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I can't allow that.
Fine.
So we've got to agree on the shit list, but we've got Kiefer Goldsman.
Goldsman.
Alex Ross. And now Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. You can ask. I'll let you ask Stephen Hawking in there. Okay. Yeah. Just because it's so ridiculous.
Did you see? There was some footage of Keaton, who, you know, to be fair to him, he's his whole life he's been an actor. He's done all
an kinds, actor.
Yeah, he's tread the boards. And this was his last chance to get an Academy Award, realistically. And there's a sad shot of him putting his speech back in his pocket and clapping. And I felt really bad for him, just for some mawkish, sentimental fucking bile.
Well,
I never saw the film.
I'm not going to watch it, but you know, it's like you can do an earnest performance if you want. That's going to tug at someone's heartstrings, and yeah, that'll work.
It's a bit of a debate, really, isn't it? Because obviously, I understand a film like Gandhi's got relevance, importance to the world, blah de blah. But why shouldn't a film like Terminator get an Oscar? Because 30 years later, we're all still watching it.
I think that kind of shit. I guess to a degree, it's regarded as some sort of lowbrow culture stuff. Like, why hasn't Michael Bay ever won an award? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he makes... He's an auteur who makes his own voice, makes finely crafted cinema experiences. And yet, I think the Academy just wants to be... It's just cultural snobbery.
Yeah, the thing that annoys me, though, is that occasionally they give one to, like, Roger Rabbit, or something that is a bit lowbrow, which makes you think, well, why?
I don't know.
And they gave one to Dark Knight because Ledger died, didn't they?
Was that the only Oscar it won, though? Best actor? Supporting actor?
I think so, yeah. I might be wrong about that. Yeah. So it's...
But the Oscars are fucking meaningless anyway, in my mind. But yeah. I understand, like, they come with a, you know, a sense of prestige.
I kind of thought that Keaton deserved it partly for recognition of what he's done over the years, as much for like Birdman.
Well, there you go, but it's not like a Lifetime Achievement Award, is it?
No. Yeah.
So it's we all know who'd get the Meat for the Beast Award for Best Actor of All Time. Shia LaBeouf. Bam! Have you seen the Beast's new haircut?
No.
Fucking hell. A couple of months ago, he was spotted with like some weird rat tail thing.
Right.
And then I saw a picture of him recently, which it looks like he's shaved it on the sides, but has a mini afro on top, and it's turned into this massive rat tail down the back, and it just looks fucking atrocious. even I had to say no to that. So. I'll let that one go until he sorted his hair out.
Good stuff. Great. Good stuff. Another bit of news.
What news?
Relating to the Cheadle Trouser Massacre.
Oh, the Cheadle Trouser Massacre.
Which is long forgotten by now.
But, yeah, let's not dig up the past.
One person that was quick to laugh at my expense was our friend On John. I met him in Manchester a few weeks ago, and I planned to eat some food, went tits up. On John had a lot to drink. And then on the way home, we got the train back to Sheffield, walking home up towards, what's that area called? Maresbrook.
All right.
Where dreams go to die. as all described it.
The lentil belt.
Yeah. So walking back to Maresbrook, On John was caught out without a toilet late at night. Had to have I presume, a Healy trouser massacre. On John shot himself. So shout out to On John.
Yeah, respect for admitting that.
Yeah, some shitty slacks. I don't think it was. You didn't get really shit faced or anything. I think it was more my kind of problem that.
Oh yeah.
Some gut related, and being caught out.
Terrible, isn't it?
You know,
terrible when that happens.
So I was going to talk about sci-fi.
Sci-fi, yes, we've had a lot of sci-fi lately.
Yeah, a lot of mind benders.
Mm.
Yeah. So did you see Ex Machina?
I think it's Machina, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't. I'd like to, though. Alex Garland's first film as a director.
Yeah. Garland's debut.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Does he show some visual flair?
He does, yeah. Yeah.
Good.
For a writer, it's a very nice-looking film. It keeps it very simple as well. It's quite bleak, stark-looking. in the same way Dread was.
Right.
There's a lot of reused corridors, I'd say.
Right.
It's quite a small set. It's all based in this bunker. Like, the premise, if you're not... I won't ruin the film, but the premise is, like, a young guy, Domhnall Gleeson, is allowed to go to the home of... it's kind of like the guy... If there was a guy who set up Google, you know, like the Facebook guy, whatever his name
okay,
is.
Okay, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he's like a kind of future version of that sort of guy living as a recluse in this kind of weird sort of...
I was hoping for more of a Clive Sinclair type of analogy there, but, you know.
Who's Clive Sinclair?
Clive Sinclair.
Oh, it's in Clive Sinclair. Yeah, oh, right, okay. Yeah, maybe that's good, yeah.
A bit more techie.
Yeah. So, he's in the middle of Norway or somewhere, and
right.
Kind of tucked away, literally in the middle of nowhere, and he's got this underground bunker that doubles as a beautiful house. And he's doing all these strange experiments with robot women.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Gleeson shows up to as part of a kind of test for one of the robot women.
Okay.
To see if she can test her humanity kind of right. thing. And a quite interesting thing is it's that guy from the last Coen Brothers film. He was in Drive as well.
Oscar Isaac?
I think so. Yeah.
I think he's in Star Wars.
Is he really? All right, cool. It was really good, and it was mainly just him and Gleeson, and then whichever actress plays the robot.
Right.
And I really rated him. He spends that. It's a very boozy film as well, surprisingly.
What do you mean?
Pretty much the whole film, he's down in a beer.
All right.
He's like kind of. He seems to be a bit of an alcoholic creator, and.
That's where the best work is done. That's under the influence.
Yeah, and they look like really nice beers as well. Oh. Real craft looking, sweet ass beers.
I'll be happy with some cider. Pop back a Strongbow. Yeah.
So, yeah, that comes, gets my thumbs up. It's quite, nothing too elaborate, quite a simple story. It was a bit like, it reminded me a little bit of same sort of vibe as Westworld or something, but with a much, you know, more stripped down, only a handful of people in it. And, but it was good.
Sounds good. You didn't see Chappie, did you?
Chappie's got a story. Chappie's got a book.
It's good. I expected it to be... When I saw the trailer, I expected it to be a heartstring tugger in the way that District... Yeah. District 9?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be like that. But it wasn't. But it's more like... It's like a less racist Short Circuit, pretty much. It's good.
25.
Terrible. Yeah, it's good. Obviously, Chappie's been out now a while, so I guess everyone who's going to see it has seen it. But I really enjoyed it. It's very funny. Chappie can't save motherfucker. He said he calls people fuck mothers, which amused me immensely. And it's good. It's got heart. It's got soul. Downside is that the dude from Ninja, from The Antword, a South African hip-hop duo, he's abhorrent.
Right.
And he comes good to a degree, but he's just so unlikable.
Right, okay.
And then you hear reports that he was an actual dick on set. Hugh Jackman has got a fucking terrible mullet, and he's always wearing shorts with knee-high socks. He looks costume design. It's shit. But yeah, Chappie was decent.
And it's isn't District 9 guy Chappie's voice?
Yeah, I think he did the mocap as well for it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so Charlton Copley.
Excellent.
All the way.
Because I started watching Elysium. I went down to Leicester to see my friend James Myers, and Myers like put Elysium on and then fell asleep on it.
Right.
Like, this was late at night. And then I like sort of woke Myers up and sent him off to bed and like sat down to watch the rest of Elysium.
Yeah.
Fucking sat on the remote, and then Elysium disappeared, and it was like match of the day or something. And I was like fucking around for 20 minutes trying to get Elysium back. Eventually gave up and ended up watching some shit film with Donald Sutherland on a boat. Made a few years ago, straight to TV jobby. So
that sounds unfortunate.
It started pretty well though.
Elysium's alright.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Definitely want to see the rest of that. But he was in that as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good in that.
Kruger.
Yeah, he's a badass.
Other sci-fi, Coherence, which you didn't see it, did you?
Nope.
That was a good one. It was recommended by a friend of the show, Andy Dean of UKHorrorScene.com. Quite simple, low budget sci-fi, where there's a bunch of knobs having a shitty fucking dinner party. There's all women falling out,
twats,
bitching at each other, and
dicks kind of talking about their job, and
it starts off in a shit way, and you just think, why am I watching this?
Right.
And then, but I was told to stick with it. And then there's a comet going over the Earth, and the comet causes kind of temporal shit to happen. Like, I'm not going to ruin the film. I'll just tell you the premise, and then I'll stop talking. But basically, it kind of, you know, there's the theory of quantum physics or whatever, where parallel universe.
Don't know, why don't you ask Stephen Hawking? I'm sure he can fill in the gaps on this shit.
We need to ask Michael Keaton on the case.
Let's get some Keaton's books.
Let's get Keaton involved. Quantum physics kind of comes into play, and this whatever temporal interference this comet causes means that the parallel universes become physical. So you walk down the street, then come back to the house you just set off from, and you're in there, kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's quite interesting.
Sounds
quite
good. Interesting.
Yeah, and people have quite a paranoid reaction to.
As you would, I imagine.
Yeah, like people are scared of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what would I do in that situation? Shit.
Yeah.
They think about, oh, maybe I should. There's one guy who's got a drink problem,
right?
And he's thinking, what if the version of me down the road just hit the booze?
Yeah.
I'm scared of that version of me because
right.
I know what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
So really interesting film. Really, like, super low budget, hardly any effects, but just very nicely handled. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. That was well worth the first 20 minutes of pain.
Sounds cool.
And then quick one, Martin, friend of the show, Martin Carhill.
Oh yeah.
Recommended Predestination.
I've not seen this yet, but I want to see it because it's by the brothers who did Undead and I want to say Daybreakers, Vampireville. Yeah. It's really good.
Good stuff.
So yeah, what's Predestination about?
Another low budgeter, lowish budget, a bit of sort of trippy time travel, kind of a bit of a detective-y type story, but not really.
Okay.
Can't really talk about it too much because there's quite a strong story that it all hangs around.
Right.
And I'd kind of ruin it. It's a good one to go into without any knowledge, really.
Okay.
So it's got Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
And they said Ethan Hunt again. Isn't that the guy from Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Stars Ethan Hunt. And he's good. He's got a female actress. I don't know her name, but she was very, very good. Very good. Yeah.
A nameless woman in a film was very
that
good.
That woman was really good. Yeah. she kind of plays a multitude of strange roles in it.
Right.
And that's it, I think, for the sci-fi. It's been a good period of Mindbenders.
Good.
I reckon.
All right, so, recently, I guess it's probably still at your local cinema, a documentary about Kurt Cobain called Cobain, Montage of Heck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be the first intimate portrait of the man regarded as a spokesman for his generation, which is,
yeah,
from what I gather, a label he hated.
Yeah.
But it's good, it's well put together.
Quite an accurate label, though, really, when you think about it.
I suppose so, but...
Well, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not like he set out, it's not like he sought that, is it? He didn't seek that out, he just wanted to make some music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what this does is it kind of... Because obviously he always seemed kind of contrary in interviews, like he wasn't going to play the game. And I think it's because he really didn't give a shit about shameless self-promotion. What you get to see through this is like his early life and stuff he did in school and how the band initially formed. And there's lots of Super 8 footage of him dicking about as a little nipper. And then it just charts his life, really. And it's got like lots of home video footage. There's some quite bleak bits where there's him and Courtney clearly smacked up, dicking about in their apartment, and it's quite close to the bone. But there's that, and then there's also elements of his, like his actual sense of humour. He does a wicked Bob Dylan impression,
right,
which really made me chuckle.
Okay.
So
there's a bit of footage of that, is there?
Yeah.
Right.
Funny. It's not as, if you've ever seen the film Last Days, the Gus Van Sant one.
Yeah, I hated it.
I hated it, but I found that had more of an impact. This is just a nice documentary. Well, not nice, but it's good. It's good, and it's also got some awesome. I think it's like audio clips of him like telling someone something, and they've animated them in a. It looks like Scanner Darkly, like rotoscoping. It's like it was shot as a film and then animated cell shading afterwards. There's loads of that in it.
And it's strong trailer.
Yeah. What's the guy called? Brett Morgan. Is that the guy who directed it? Don't know what else he's done. Yeah. But it's a good doc. And I like you've got far more invested in Nirvana than I have. I can't really care. But what I saw, it was good.
Excellent.
And worth your time.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Is there much? How much Nirvana are in it then? As the actual band?
Chris Novoselic's in it quite a bit.
I mean, in terms of do they tell the Nirvana story
I don't want to. Like, obviously, you've ordered the disc.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you everything. But I think you'll get enough out of it.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping for, I'd really like a documentary that just, you know, we'll go from day one of Nirvana and tell the whole story. But I don't suppose we'll ever really get that.
Well,
but maybe
we'll. This is fairly close.
Okay.
Because it starts off with his mum talking about how his mum and dad got together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of footage of him as a kid, as I say. And then it's what happened to him. He had a bit of a shitty upbringing, from what I can gather, which I didn't. I wasn't aware of. It filled in a lot of gaps that I didn't think.
Right.
That I didn't know about. Also, Frances Bean is like, she's an exec producer, so she's got quite a bit of say in the matter.
She seems a bit of a silly cow, to be honest, from what I've been reading.
Really? I don't know.
The day before the film was released, she did some interviews she'd done came out, and it was all like, I don't like Nirvana, I prefer Oasis.
Oh, fair enough.
Nice one, love.
Fair enough.
Cheers for that. seemed a bit of a stupid thing to say. I don't know. She doesn't seem to. I mean, to say she's got the genes of Nirvana and Hole.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she's not done anything musical.
Well, I think. Emerging from that, I think she's done well to keep out of the public eye.
Hmm.
And I think if you'd seen what fame did to her dad, you'd like to keep it.
Yeah, I suppose. But then, I mean, she could do a quite a low level release, though, and a fuck ton of people would still want to hear it.
They would, but then it would be based on who her dad was.
But,
more than anything.
But if it was you, wouldn't you still do it?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. I think you'd need to do something quite drastic to step out of that shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I won't say his name. The one guy I know who does have a famous parent has never even mentioned it to anyone.
Yeah.
To his credit. And he's become, like, pretty respected in his own field without that, so...
Yeah.
Hats off to the guy.
Yeah.
Like so, yeah. But, now I'm going to give it a go. I saw a shot of it taking all the different band names in Kurt's sketchbook or whatever, and it had animated it into a nice sequence.
Yeah, there's a lot of nice stuff like that. I'm not that great with documentaries at the best of times, but I think when I'm hearing a documentary about Kurt Cobain's life, I'm like, all right, fine. But then you figure, like, did you see American, the Bill Hicks story?
No.
That was brilliant. And I think this was, I think...
Phil Spinks.
Hey?
Phil Spinks. That's the, what's his name? Stuart Lee did a piss take, made up some piss take guy called Phil Spinks, who everyone loves. Just got some shit catchphrase. Everyone loves him because he's dead.
Very nice. But there's a documentary about him, and I think it was a visual treat as opposed to just like a bunch of talking heads telling a story. And I think that's what raises it above just some shit you could have watched on TV. It's very good looking film.
A bit more immersive.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, right. Excellent.
So yeah, worth your time.
I saw another good documentary. It was on Netflix. It was called Harmontown.
Oh yeah.
I've never seen Community, but the guy who wrote that...
Is it Mark Harmon? Is it Mark?
I think it's Mark. I don't know. It's
Community's alright.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, mate. That's on Netflix as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So this Harmon guy, he's got a podcast.
Alright.
Called Harmontown.
Right.
And when he got fired from Community... I don't know why. It sounds like he's a bit of a... He's quite controlling and a bit of a kind of... He's a boozer. And had some big row with Chevy Chase, which is probably what got him fired.
Yeah.
I think Chevy Chase got quite a big ego these days.
I think Chevy Chase is... despite Fletch and National Lampoon's Vacation stuff, I think Chevy Chase is a bit of a dick.
Bit of a dick, right?
But okay. I'll still quite happily watch Fletch at least twice a year because yeah, man, so good.
So yeah, so him and does some voicemail of Chevy Chase ringing him up, calling right. him a fat fuck, and telling him he's an alcoholic loser and got no talent.
Jesus.
Well, after he got fired, he's supposed to be writing scripts for different stations,
right?
To try and get, you know, a new pilot up and running. And
yeah.
Instead, he kind of goes off and does a takes his podcast on the road.
Right.
And the documentary is just about, you know, taking his podcast around America, and it's quite interesting because he doesn't kind of have a set agenda like a comedian would, even though he kind of is almost a stand up, but he kind of just shows up without much of a plan.
Right.
And then takes the piss a bit. One show, someone comes with some moonshine and he drinks it all, and then he's unable to really do a great deal. And they've got a dungeon master who's just some guy who just showed up one day. They got him on stage to be a dungeon master and did such a good job of it that they just take him around with them everywhere. And he's like a guy who's, it seems as though he's probably got some kind of autism.
Right.
And it's been like the first time this guy's really left his area, I think. And,
right.
But he's a really good sort of piss-takey dungeon master.
Sounds good.
And it was really good. It's called Harmontown. So I've been off ill a bit because this vertigo's knocked me down a bit, but so I've had the chance to watch quite a lot of stuff lately, and that was one of the best things I've seen lately. And at the end, he ends up, community suffers without him, so they end up rehiring him.
Right.
So that's good. And he gets his dungeon master mate into it.
Good work.
Yeah. So not bad.
Cool.
Then I was going to mention I finally got to see Batman on the big screen again.
Hey. Thank fuck, he's banging on about it.
I wrote a bunch of letters last year.
This hurts.
For the 25th anniversary of Burton Batman, I wrote to all the cinemas in like Manchester and Stockport to try and get them to show it on the big screen. And
please.
And most of them like got back to me and said they'd do it and they never did.
Right.
So which is a good way of getting someone to fuck off. Isn't yeah. It? And then, but eventually, Grim Up North, who run Grimfest, they ended up randomly showing it in as part of a Tim Burton season. I don't think they even realised it was the 25th anniversary.
Right.
And they showed it on a February night, which kept the fucking shit munchers away. met up with my friend Jay and went to see that. Jay showed up in his Batman leather jacket.
Nice.
Pretty nails.
Oh, badass.
It's quite a cool jacket, actually, because it's just got a Bat logo on the front in leather, so
I've seen
it's
this.
It's all black.
I've seen this. It's
pretty sweet.
Is it like a biker jacket type of thing?
It is, yeah.
I think when I saw the emergence of that, I sent it to you and Hal.
Right, yeah.
And Hal was like, fucking hell, we need to drop a few stone for that.
Yeah.
And then I think he said he'd only ever wear it, even if he could fit into it, he'd only ever wear it for having sex in.
Yeah.
Man of decency and taste.
So Jay's a bit younger than us. He's a young fellow at 26.
Oh, blimey.
10 years my junior. 11 years my junior.
Jeez.
Which is a bit depressing. So, yeah, fair play to Jay and Grim Up North for a wonderful February evening. it was quite surreal seeing it on a big screen again.
Yeah?
Because I was thinking I'd not seen it on a big screen since about 1989.
Yeah.
Apart from that time we watched it at my old work, which is a medium-sized screen.
Yeah.
We used to have a film night where I used to work. We went to Platform 3, the Restaurant Express.
Oh, that was good. That was a good place. They're awesome mixed kebabs there.
McVeigh had a curry that looked like I'd been sat there all week. Kind of curry buffet.
Played it safe though. I don't have any. It was a veggie curry.
Yeah.
What harm could come?
It's a bit like having a buffet curry. Is a bit like going down on a tramp, isn't it? Going down on a tramp's arsehole. You're taking a gamble.
I think if you're going to go down on a tramp's arse, it's not much of a gamble. I think you know what you're going to get. Yes, I'm fully invested in this opportunity. So, gross.
So we're rapidly approaching... the weather's getting hot, and we're rapidly approaching your kind of blockbuster season.
Oh, yes, of course. So, and I guess the first one is out next week, actually. So depending on when you hear this, it's either been out or it's out. Yeah. Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Come on.
McVeigh's got beef.
I've got beef, man.
Is it Joss Whedon?
It's Joss Whedon, but okay. I'll end it on a kind of positive note.
Yeah.
I think Marvel's game plan is ace, and you know, I've written this, but I'll say it. They give all the standalone stuff to established directors with a nice visual style, and then because Whedon's like got the keys to the kingdom, they give him the big tentpoles, Avengers and Avengers 2.
Yeah.
And the first Avengers, yeah, it ticked boxes, but it's flat as fuck. It's just cinematically dog shit, and it's spectacular in many ways.
Uh-huh.
But there's no visual flair. There's no craft. He's a filmmaker, not a director, for want of a better term.
Okay.
But he's a great ideas man. You know.
Yeah.
Credit where credit's due. And Age of Ultron is out, and it looks like more of the same. So I went to see Iron Man 3 opening weekend. Yeah. I'm going to let Avengers be out a couple of weeks before I bother.
I did. I've said before, but I did really enjoy Avengers, but from these trailers, this new one it's not blowing me away. It just looks like the Avengers fighting some shit robots.
Yeah.
And I've got vague memories of Ultron from the Secret Wars comic, and of all the Marvel baddies, he doesn't seem like the obvious choice.
No, and I guess they're playing a long game, but like the baddie looming in the background of the first Avengers was it Thanos?
Yeah,
that dude in the other realm. Like, why don't we just have him on the go?
Or even like Doctor Doom, surely they've... Did they not got control of Doctor Doom?
No, he's with Sony, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
Or whoever's got Fantastic Four. I think it's Sony.
Right. Oh, of course, that's another one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which actually is growing on me.
I'm liking the look of that.
It does look like what you were saying about weed and not having much of a style. That does have a... That's oozing style. It's just, for me, the character's a bit shit.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But I read an interview, I think it was in The Guardian this weekend, an interview with Joss Whedon, who seems quite glad to be handing over the keys to someone else.
Okay.
I think he's fatigued and tired of it.
Yeah.
He's spending his entire life just working on these Avengers businesses.
Yeah.
And if it's draining him of his creative juice, then he should probably get some rest.
Because I've never seen Serenity. I've heard good things and bad things. Where do you stand on that?
I watched Serenity, but I hadn't seen Firefly. So it just felt like watching the finale of a TV series I've not seen.
Right.
So I was like, that was all right, I suppose.
But I did watch the pilot of Firefly and was a bit... didn't really... I don't know. Didn't blow me away.
I just don't feel compelled. But I enjoyed Buffy at the time.
Yeah, I didn't mind Buffy.
Was it Dollhouse he did?
Right.
Dollhouse was pretty good.
Okay.
But yeah, like I say, he's a great writer, great ideas. Like Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
It's good because he wrote it.
Right. Oh, I didn't realise that. That was Whedon.
He wrote it, yeah. And Drew Goddard, who does Daredevil TV show, directed it.
Oh, right, okay.
So skills all around there, I think.
Good stuff.
But yeah.
You're talking about Terminator as well?
Terminator Genesis. Genesis. I'm on the fence with this.
Yeah.
I like the kind of the bit of the switcheroo with like old Arnie being there, taking on young Arnie. I like what's her name? Amelia Clarke?
The girl from Game of Thrones.
Mm.
I'm not sure.
Frick. Anyway, she's lovely. She looks like she's going to be a badass Sarah Connor.
She's quite pretty though, isn't she? I think from the two Sarah Connors I've seen, they were both quite Ripley-esque, weren't they?
Yeah, I'll give you that,
She's more like cheerleader kind of look about her.
I suppose.
So I don't know if that's going to work or not.
I think my biggest beef with it is the guy playing Reese, Jay Courtney.
He's a good meathead.
Fucking hell. He's just got such a dickhead face, and that sounds really mean. But he was in... I think he played John McClane's son in Die Hard 5.
Right.
I think he's a baddie in Jack Reacher. He's just... I don't know. You know when you can't take to someone's face?
He's got a proper punchable face.
He just looks like a meathead.
Kyle Reese was cool as well.
Exactly.
Michael Bain, cool looking fella.
Yeah, this guy just looks like it's some sort of beefcake with no character.
Of course, we're not talking about Aliens. Aliens, they're making us the sequel to Aliens.
Well, it's gone a bit quiet on that front. But Neil Blomkamp, just tweeted some concept art, and then next thing you know, he's doing Alien 3, an alternative version, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't just let him roll with it. Just do what the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But could be good.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. In principle, definitely up for that. I like the battle-scarred Hicks.
Yeah. Bane looks pretty fucking cool. Can't help thinking, I was saying a while ago to McVeigh, can't help thinking they would have been better recasting it maybe with, what's her name? Mama from Judge Dredd.
Lena Headey?
Yeah.
Lena Headey.
I thought she'd be a good Ripley.
She'd be an excellent Ripley. And Garrett Dillahunt for Hicks.
Who's that?
He actually played a Terminator
in Transformers.
No, he's not. He played the Terminator in Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Okay, right.
But he's a scenery chewing like character actor who, when he appears, just essentially owns the film.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Road?
I have, yeah.
He rocks up as a menacing cannibal in like one scene.
Okay.
And he's like, fucking hell. he's really good.
That's a grim film, The Road.
Yeah. Good, though.
Don't yeah. Like. Family's committing mass suicide.
Yeah.
Granddad's in the basement with no hands. Like a trip to Rochdale or something. Oh, sorry, really. I hope we're not getting Rochdale listeners.
I don't know if we do. Have they got the internet in Rochdale? Shit. I think we should. Unnecessary Rochdale beef. Fuck you, Rochdale, what are you going to do?
So I think that's about it.
I think it is.
So I've got a tune for us.
What have you got, Jim?
I went to a Black Grate reunion last weekend because Bez's political party, the reality party. Bez's trying to get elected in, I think it's Salford and Eccles.
Okay,
it's called. Is Eccles near Salford?
I've no idea. I thought it was around here.
Right, that's fuck knows. But anyway, Bez is trying to get voted in. He's got this kind of anti-fracking movement and all about, you know, he's involved in various homeless charity work. And it was a fundraiser for that. So the Black Grape had a kind of reunion, although it was basically just Sean Ryder and Kermit. I think one of the musical masterminds behind Black Grape was in the background. But it was a good gig. And one of the bands supporting Black Grape was the Backhanders, who are Manchester-based, kind of Manchester guitar band.
Right.
And, you know, like, when you go and see, there was a big wait outside at the start. Everyone was, like, getting fucked off and, like, fuck this. It was in the old Granada Studios and eventually got in, went past Ken Barlow's old office, went the Weatherfield Gazette office, and then this arch on the right as you went in. And we got inside and it was, like, had the vibe of a Manchester warehouse party, you know, kind of.
Right.
A bit of, sort of, hacienda-y when you went in. And, you know, like Clint Boone on the decks and that sort of stuff.
Cool.
So anyway, but we had a bit of a wait for Black Grape and we're thinking, oh, fuck, that can't be arsed with the support bands. But anyway, the Backhanders came on. They were really good. And I turned to my mate Myers. I went with my mate Myers, who saw Black Grape with at Red 96, and both agreed that they were pretty fucking decent. Okay, got a couple of plugs for the band. They're doing a gig with Danny Marn on the 16th of May at Sound Control, which is just off Oxford Road. And their singer, Chaddy, is doing an acoustic set at Acoustica on the 18th of May. And I don't know where that is, because I'm a bit out of touch. We don't know either, do you, Acoustica?
No, sorry.
So, sorry about that. I don't know whether that's a night or a club. Sounds like it might be a night. And if you want to hear their music, go soundcloud.com/TheBackhanders. So, thanks for this, guys. Thanks a lot. And this is a song called Down by the River, which is available to buy on iTunes.
Oh, we're down by the river cause we got to get away. I've been drinking all night but I don't want to drink all day. I really love somebody like I love someone today. We're down by the river cause I got to get away. Well, I'm in hot water but I don't wanna get too deep. I really love you girl, well you still be my queen. We're down by the river cause I got to get away. I've been drinking all night but I don't wanna drink all day. But if I die someday, I wanna fly someday, I wanna take you, girl.
就问路是 only way to go. But I will never get you high and it will only make you low. But it's shit down there, well, it ain't no mess for me. I went down, but I remember boy, that's what I'll make you see. Oh, never die someday. Oh, the fly someday. Oh, I'll take you, girl. Take you, yeah. Take you with me.
So this has been episode...
Episode 11.
Episode 11 of Meat for the Beast. Apologies for the delay. We'll not leave it so long next time.
Yeah, it's mainly my fault. It's mainly my fault.
Well, there's two of us here, Jim. You know, there's two of us. It's just as much mine.
It's partly that we're trying to avoid making it a Skype show.
Absolutely. I don't want that to happen.
In case no one knows, like we're based in different cities. That's why.
It's tricky. Jim's got a little kid as well.
Yeah, my boy loves kids. Loves to tickle a boy's bottom. So yeah, basically, like for us to do a podcast, one of us has to do a 2-hour drive, and at the minute I can't drive. And whenever we tried to plan it, I was either ill or working or vice versa.
They don't need to know all this, Jim. They know the ins and outs of our lives. They're just here for the witty banter.
We're a fully immersive experience, though, shall
we? Well, true, yeah.
So,
thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And see you guys soon.
Adios.
Au revoir. Alfie Design. Fuck off.